From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
You have to learn to be content. Learn to be content. It does not come standard equipment, folks. Contentment is learned. That's why when you're a young kid, and if someone gives you something and you don't say thank you, I remember I'd run away. My mother would grab me by the hair. You get back here. You say thank you. Say thank you. Thank you. Can I have my hair back now? You have to learn thankfulness. Learn contentment.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Did you know one of Satan's most lethal weapons is to try to get us to become discontent, unhappy with what we have, envious of others? In fact, Pastor Wayne will show us it's one of the tactics Satan tried to use on Jesus in the wilderness. Well, we know how that worked out, don't we? Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Power of Contentment.
We're going to be speaking about the power of contentment. The power of contentment. And it's going to be a very important message because there is a power in contentment. And it was in 1965 that the Rolling Stones put out a very well-known song, and I bet you can finish it for me. It goes like this. I can't get no. You guys are old. That was 1965. But it was prophetic because that describes much of America today. People that are constantly dissatisfied. And Paul the Apostle is going to give us a wonderful insight and truth today. Let me give you a little bit of context. Paul the Apostle was in prison in Rome on death row, waiting to be executed, and yet he speaks about contentment. Let's read it. It's at the top of our notes together. Are you ready? Go. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means or how to live in prosperity. I have learned the secret of being filled and being hungry. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Underline that last phrase, because here's the secret. He says, when I'm filled or when I'm hungry, Christ gives me the strength to be content. I want you to know right at the top, contentment isn't about your circumstances, it's about your spirit. And Paul is going to teach us to learn about the secret of contentment. It was in Luke chapter 4 that the devil is going to tempt the creator of the universe. Now, if you're going to try to trip up and lure the creator of the universe with temptation, you better bring your A game. That devil had better make sure that he went to his arsenal of lures, and you better get the best lure, the best spinner, because you're going to try to take down the creator. Well, Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days, and the devil begins to tempt them. And you know what lure he uses in all three attempts? He uses the lure of dissatisfaction. You see, he knows that that's one of the most powerful weapons in his arsenal. What? Dissatisfaction. If you're the Son of God, why are you so poor? Isn't that dissatisfying? Turn these stones to bread. Look at that. You're the Son of God. If God loved you, why is he letting you go hungry? If you're the Son of God and if God loves you so much, why are you so poor? You don't have a stone upon which you can lay your head to rest. You don't have a house. You've got zip. And if you're the Son of God and if God loved you so much, why is it you're the King of Kings? You have no prominence. Isn't that dissatisfying? You're the Creator and nobody likes you. Think about it, Jesus. You understand? If you'll follow me, come. And he showed him all of the riches of the world. What about that? Showed him all the kingdoms and its glory. If you'll worship me, you can have that. And then you'll be satisfied. You see, the lure that Satan's going to use on you and me is something called dissatisfaction. And that's why there's a power to contentment. But let me go back to this. Let me give you the slide that takes place. And you'll see in your notes called a slide, and there's three lines. The first is, would you write down dissatisfaction? You see, he'll get you dissatisfied with your marriage. Dissatisfied with your salary. Why are they just paying me this much, man? I should be worth more. And the devil will say, that's right, if they valued you a little more, if they valued you, you'd get paid more. Isn't this dissatisfying where you are? Yeah, I guess. And you start to get dissatisfied with your house, your car. And in fact, Madison Avenue tactics of marketing today, their whole design, watch this, their whole design is to get you dissatisfied with what you have. Then they sell you all kinds of stuff, right? So you look how good it is, how funny it is, how creative it is to get you dissatisfied until you get this. Then this will satisfy you. It's a lure that we use in American society today because they know it's powerful. So the first slip is you're dissatisfied. And then the second, it makes you, here it is, jealous. You start to get jealous of other people that have a nicer car. You look at, that's how it goes. You look at your car, and then you look at this high-powered, beautiful car that's being advertised, and you start to compare. And you say, oh, beautiful car, my car, ooh, ugly. Ooh, but ooh, man, I'd be so satisfied with this. You understand what's happening? Now, when someone else gets a nice car and you don't, you get jealous. Ooh, who do you think him? Look at him, probably stealing that money to get that car. And we start to get jealous. And then you see a beautiful, luxurious house in a magazine. Ooh, and then you look at your little teeny apartment. Ooh. You're dissatisfied. And when someone has a bigger house, I'm jealous. And you look at this sleek model in a magazine or on TV, and she comes out. Right? You look at her, ooh, and you look at your wife, ooh. I'm just joking. Just joking. And you know what it makes you do? You start to not just be jealous, but here's the pull. Would you write down number three, temptation? Because it tempts you to covet. And what's one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods or your neighbor's wife. You look at yours, ooh, you look at her, ooh, how come he gets a babe? And look this. So not only are you jealous, you start to covet. And when that happens, you're ready for temptation. And Satan knows he can take your future away from you with one hook. He knows how to bait that hook because, listen, here's the whole message. Whatever area of your life that you're dissatisfied with, that's what he's going to tempt you in. If I'm dissatisfied with my marriage, I'll start to have eyes of lust all over the place. How did this happen? Because you're dissatisfied with your marriage. I see people having a little more money and I get angry, a little jealous. Why? Because I'm dissatisfied with my own lot in life. Wherever I am dissatisfied, the enemy knows where he can tempt me and destroy me. Whenever I am dissatisfied in an area, here's how I say it. I send a ping or a push notification to hell. It's sort of like, if I'm getting dissatisfied with my job or my faith, well, if God loves me, why did he let this? All of a sudden, Satan on his iPhone goes, bing, oh, Wayne is ready to be tempted. Why? Because he's dissatisfied with his faith. Ooh, the minions say, ooh, let's go after him. And then I get discouraged and I get tempted. Bing, oh, excuse me, everybody. Wayne is ready to be tempted because he's dissatisfied with his marriage. Ooh, they all run around. And see, then the devil knows exactly how to bait his hook, because it's wherever you're dissatisfied is where he baits. If I'm dissatisfied with my marriage, I'm starting to look for relationships. They just start to become emphasized. They surface all of a sudden and they're alluring to me like never before. See, if you're content with your marriage, you look around, it's like no big deal. But you get dissatisfied, watch how temptable you are. And the devil knows that. That's why there's a power of contentment. And it's not the circumstance, it's the way I view that. That's why Paul says, I've learned the secret of contentment. What is it? Christ in you. He'll give you the power. Because it's not circumstance, it's a spirit in the circumstance. And when I'm dissatisfied, that's what Satan puts on the hook. It's kind of like this. I brought ouch, there's some blood on that thing. All right, so here's what he does. He takes, here's one of my worms. It's a gummy worm. And he says, oh, Wayne is dissatisfied, huh? And he finds that and he says, okay, here. Yeah, go ahead. Hello. Looks good, doesn't it? No, you don't like gummy worms, huh? Okay, if you don't like gummy worms, well, let's just see what else that you might like on this thing. Sorry. How's about $100 bill? Maybe he's dissatisfied. Was he dissatisfied with his job? Mm-hmm. All right. Take a look at that. See? I start seeing your eyes going, ooh. Now I know what you guys are dissatisfied with right now. You see, that's how the enemy knows how to bait his hook. Because whatever area you're dissatisfied in is where you're going to be lurable or temptable. If I'm dissatisfied with my marriage, then I start seeing these women all over the place. Oh, what about friendships? Well, then I see compromise. I think, oh man, why do I have to be a Christian? I can't do this. I want to do this. Oh, and then after a while, all of these things are in front of you and Christianity becomes so hard because I have to fight all of these desires in me. All it's revealing is all of the areas of your life in which you are discontented. And some of us have so many areas of discontent in our life, you look like this. It's like, oh man, you have all of these things, and it's like, oh, I don't like my wife. Oh, baby. Oh. And every day we're looking through this stuff like, oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want her. Oh, I want to drink that. Oh, everything. This is so hard being a Christian. Let me take this off. I can see it's distracting you already. Do you understand? And it makes our walk with Christ so hard because we're pulled. And that's why Paul says, no, there's a power of contentment. It sets you free. It sets you free, freedom in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. So you say, well, how do I get more content? Because I tell you, all of the stuff just pulls on me. Real easy, here's three steps. Number one, would you write in your notes? Number one, you have to learn to be content. Learn to be content. It does not come standard equipment, folks. It's optional. Contentment is learned. That's why when you're a young kid, and if someone gives you something and you don't say thank you, I remember I'd run away. My mother would grab me by the hair. You get back here. You say thank you. Say thank you. I said, thank you. Can I have my hair back now? You have to learn thankfulness. Learn contentment. Learn that. You say, well, can we really learn it? Absolutely. Let's read what it says in the scriptures here in 1 Timothy 6:8. Go. With food and clothing therewith to be. What are the two things with what? And clothing. Then you can be? All right. How many of you ate in the last 24 hours? How many of you ate? All right, cool, okay. How many of you have clothes on? Right. Oh, good, good. Some of you don't. Yeah, all right. So with food and clothing, you are able to be content. Everything beyond that is icing on the cake. Do you understand how content and grateful we should be as a people of God? But what happens, we always want a little more. Learn to be content. And don't wait for something big. Now, this is going to be a very important part. Don't wait for something big to make you content. Because if you're waiting for something big, it's going to develop in you something called jealousy. You know what jealousy is defined as? Jealousy is the art of counting your neighbor's blessings rather than your own. Write that in there. Jealousy is the art of counting your neighbor's blessings rather than your own. And jealousy sets in. So you say, well, how do I counteract that? Because it could run your life. And jealousy is something that drives you on. And it's a dangerous thing. It's like a tapeworm. It'll eat everything you get. And you still won't be satisfied. You'll never be content. Why? Here it is. Listen carefully. If you're waiting for something big to bring you contentment, you develop a dangerous habit in your life. Well, when I'm done with college, then I'll be satisfied. Well, when I get my career launched, then I'll be content. When I win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes or the Lotto Powerball, then I'll be content. When I get that nice luxury home, then I'll be satisfied. Now watch this. If you're developing a habit of always wanting something big before you're content, then you will never find contentment no matter how much you have, because there's always something nicer. There's always a woman more shapely. Always going to be something, a man that's more virile, more successful. And so whatever God gives you, it will never satisfy you. And you can have $1 billion. Just like Howard Hughes. They said, Howard Hughes, when is it going to be enough? He said, because they said, when will you have enough? When will you be satisfied? He said, when I get just a little bit more. You understand? It's the myth of more. So you develop a habit of thinking that something bigger is going to give you contentment. When I get something great, and then that will bring me contentment. You'll never be content because it's a habit that's dangerous. So you start with the small things. Start with when you get up in the morning, you see the sunrise. Just say, God, thank you. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. Learn to develop a spirit of contentment, because the secret to contentment is not circumstance, it's disposition. And Paul is saying, when Christ is in you, he gives you that power to be content whatever the circumstances are, tough or not, abundance or impoverished. It's a spirit, he's saying. You understand? And there's a power to that. And I'm about to tell you more of it, but the first powerful thing about contentment is it closes the door on satanic allurement, temptation. Because whatever I'm content with, he can't tempt me in. But wherever I'm dissatisfied, he starts fishing. The power of contentment blocks hell from holding you hostage. So start with the small things. I remember when Anna and I just got married, all we had money for was this little house. It was 780 square feet. That's our whole house. That's about as big as this stage. That's about the size of most people's living rooms. And we were a little dissatisfied. I was anyway, she wasn't as much. But I remember just coming home thinking, this is so stupid, this is ugly, what a terrible house. And God began to deal with my spirit of discontent. And it was getting harder and harder, and the enemy was messing with my head, almost to the point where I just wanted to just get out of everything, get out of the ministry and go do something else. And I was sitting there one night in the living room, and I saw a vase of flowers that my wife had arranged, and I thought, boy, that's beautiful. I said, honey, this is beautiful. And she said, yeah, this house is. I said, no, that's those flowers. She said, oh, thank you. And then the Lord said, no, she said it right. And then I started saying, you know, this house is beautiful. Isn't this a nice house? And she kind of laughed a little because she knows that I was just kind of voicing positive things. She said, well, it is kind of small. I said, yeah, but you know what's cool about that? She said, what? I said, you can sweep the whole house without moving. You can sweep the whole house. And she laughed like you did. And I said, just think about it. You can wash all the windows in the house by just turning around. And she laughed and she said, this is a beautiful house. I said, it is. Because you see, you've got to build a spirit of contentment. Otherwise, God gives you a bigger house and it's still not big enough. Give you a bigger one, it's still not big enough. We will never be content, and you'll always be vulnerable to hell, and you'll be sending push notifications to the devil every day because of your dissatisfaction. God can give you so much, and it's still not enough. And you will be dissatisfied with whatever God gives you. So he cannot bless you because none of his blessings are good enough. You understand how dangerous that is to the way we think? I remember we were living in Hilo and we were paying $40 a month for rubbish pickup. And I said, oh, that's too much, honey. I said, after a year, that's $500 we're paying just to have them take our rubbish away. I said, I'm just gonna look for something else. Well, I was driving down the street one day and there was a pickup, old beat up pickup for $500. And I thought, that's a year of trash pickup right there. That's my trash pickup. If I just park that in the backyard, throw my rubbish in it, I can drive this thing to the dump, which is free in Hilo, dump it for free, and then I'd have a pickup to drive around the rest of the time. I thought, ooh, I am so brilliant. Now, there's a few characteristics of this pickup you need to be aware of. The first is if you open the driver's door all the way, it fell off. It falls off. So you have to only open it 75% of the way, and then when you close it, you have to lift it up, and then it hooks. It's all right, not bad. And then the guy said another thing too is there's a couple of holes in the floorboard, 2 4-inch holes, one by the driver's side and one on the passenger side. And I thought, well, that's not bad. It's air conditioning during the summer. And then in the winter, we put cardboard over it when it rained, rather. And the cool thing was my kids loved it because I'd say, watch this, and I'd take the cardboard off and drive over the white lines, and you could see the white line going. So, wow, that's so cool. And they could eat apples and throw the core right through the floor. And no one knew. It was so neat. And so every time we got into that pickup, we would say, isn't this a cool pickup? Of course it wasn't, but it was developing something in us. And now God has us in a nicer car and a little bigger house. But if we hadn't developed contentment there, we still wouldn't be content today. We'd want more.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Power of Contentment by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.